The great scholar of hadith, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, was once traveling and he noticed an elderly woman sitting all alone. Looks like she was lost in the desert. And he approaches her and says, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Greets her in the greeting of Islam. She replies back, "Salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim." From the in a verse of the Quran, which is also a reply to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and to the people of Jannah, "Salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim," in Surah Yasin. So she returns that greeting in a form of a verse of the Quran. Abdullah Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says to her, "What are you doing here?" So she says, "Man yudlillahu fala hadiya la." Basically saying, whoever Allah has misguided, there's no guide for that person, meaning she's lost. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi then says, "How long have you been lost for?" She says, "Thalatha layalin sawiya." 3 straight nights. She's been away from her family in the wilderness for over 3 nights. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says that, "Are you going to eat anything? Like, would you like to have, you haven't had food for days." And she says, "Sumtu lirrahmani sawma." I'm fasting, basically. You know, verse of siyam, of fasting in the Quran. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah becomes more curious. Says, "You're traveling. How are you fasting? You're not, even in Ramadan, you've been given concession to break your fast." Right? She says, and from a verse of the Quran, "In tasumu khair lakum in kuntum ta'lamun." Even if you travel and you intend to keep your fast, Allah gives you reward for that fast. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, "How do you do wudu? Like, what do you do wudu? There's no water." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Illam tajidu ma'an fatayammamu sa'idan tayyiban." If you don't have water, then you can use dirt as a substitute to do your wudu, which is tayammum. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah asks few more questions and she's replying, if you notice, in the tone of the Quran, using the Quran as a reply. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, "Can I please help you reach your caravan that's taking you to your final destination?" And also asks, "Where are you going? Where are you coming from and where are you going?" And she says, "Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina." Of course, she was traveling from a caravan that was coming from Bayt al-Maqdis to Makkah al-Mukarramah for Hajj, or she was returning from Hajj back to her homeland, which is Palestine. So Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah now knows where she's going, and of course there's flags and there's these signs where people can identify people from different communities and different countries and locations and regions. So he had an idea where she was going. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, "Can I please help you, get to your caravan?" And she says, "وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ." Any good that you do, know that Allah knows. So for sure, please help me. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he lowers the camel, mounts the camel so she can get onto the camel, ride the camel. And the moment Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah does this, she says to Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, she's going to get up, she's going to lift her skirt, her clothes, and some part of her body might become exposed. So she says to Ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, remember, she's speaking to a great muhaddith also. "Qul lil-mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim." Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. Look down. So he looks down and he forgets to tie the camel, and the camel reacts, and she rips a cloth of her shirt or something that caused her trouble. And then he apologizes. He says, I'm so sorry. I should have tied the rope tight." And then he does that. And when he apologizes, she says, "وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَن كَثِيرٍ." Any difficulty that a person goes through is basically not to blame anyone else. It's something to look back at yourself. So she's trying to say to her, it's not your fault. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ties the rope. And then she says, "فَفَهَّمْنَهَا سُلَيْمَانِ." Meaning where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sulaiman as-salam was given intellect. Thank you for using your brain, using your intellect, using the means of, stabilizing this animal in this ride. She gets on this animal. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he starts to walk very fast. He wants to get her to her caravan, her children, her family. I'm sure they're also concerned about her. and he's going very fast. So she says, "Waqsid fi mashika," don't walk, don't run. Just, you know, take it easy. And that's a quality of a believer also, to be composed and calm and collected. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, "Kuntu atarannamu bishi'ri." He says, "I started, you know, saying poetry out loud, trying to, you know, amuse this person that's been lost for so many days in the desert." And then she says to me, "Faqra'u ma tayassara min al-Qur'an." Recite from the Qur'an. Like, I don't want to hear this poetry. Recite Qur'an. She was already, you know, so attracted to the Qur'an that she's only speaking the Qur'an now. She's saying to me, "I don't want to hear this poetry. Respond back and recite Qur'an." So he says, "I started reciting Qur'an very loud." And she says to Mubarak, "Wala tajhar bi salatika wala tukhafit biha wabtaghi bayna dhalika sabila." Don't recite too loud, it will disturb others. Don't recite too low that I don't or you don't enjoy it. Let's have a moderate tone in between. And Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, now all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sure he was curious from the beginning, but now he's got the courage to ask her, "Why are you speaking the Qur'an the whole time? Like, I'm speaking the beautiful language of Arabic and you're speaking the Quran. Why don't you just speak, why don't you interact and express in the same language that we're communicating in the same tone and same, how everybody else speaks?" So he asks her this question. He inquires and she replies, "Wala taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm. Inna as-sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaka kana anhu mas'ula." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Isra, every part of our body is going to be questioned. Inna as-sam'a وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ, our hearts, our ears, our whole body is going to answer to Allah. Our eyes, what we have done, what we have seen, what we have heard. كُلُّ أُولَكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Basically, she knows that she's accountable for every single word that she's going to utter in her life. She's being calculated about that. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, "Man, wow, the sister is very, you know, special." And he apologizes for, it sounded like he offended her, and he apologizes and says, I'm so sorry for what I asked you a question that I shouldn't have asked you. And it's not the first time he asked a question that he shouldn't have asked, but this is one of those questions. And then he says, "I'm sorry." And she says, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm." And he says, "No, don't worry, I forgive you." Like, you know, the verse of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he forgives his brothers when they apologize to him. "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, I forgive you, don't worry." And then, she continues the journey, and Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah now wants to ask a $1 million question. "Hal laka zawj?" Are you married? You know? And he does. He somehow collects the courage. He says, "Are you married? Do you have a husband?" And she says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tas'alu an asha'in tubdilakum tasukum." Oh, believers, don't ask such questions that if you're given the answer to, you will not be happy with. It will offend you. Meaning, mind your business. It's not a question that you should ask. Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, the rest of the journey, I just stayed quiet. I just did my job. I grabbed the rope of the camel. And then finally, when I got closer to the caravan that she was supposed to be joined with, I asked her if she had any children. And then she replies by saying, "Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayat ad-dunya." That of course, children and wealth and children are the beauty of this dunya. So of course, she replied in the affirmative, she does have children. And then he asked, "What are your children's names so I can go out in this hajj or in this mass of people who are congregated and gathered? How am I supposed to identify your children? So what are your children's names?" So she replies by saying, "وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا يَا يَحْيَى خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ." She says three names of prophets: Ibrahim, Musa, and Yahya. He goes out and he calls them, and he sees from far distance these young, handsome men arriving right in front of him, hugging him, thanking him, and enjoying that moment. The joy that was in their face was obvious, that their mother is united with their children. And he asked also earlier, "What do your children do?" And she said, "وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ." They're guides. Then the mother says to the children, "You know, get some food for our guest that brought me here." And she uses a verse from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the story of Surat Kahf, the seven sleepers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Idhhabu biwaraqikum hadhihi ila al-madina falyanzur ayyuha azka ta'aman take this money, take this waraq, which was the currency at that time, go to the city and bring the best food. Azka ta'aman also means the most pure, healthy food for our guest. So the children go, they bring the best food, they present the food in front of the guest, who is Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah. And he says, Wallahi la adhuqu dhawaq, I swear, I am not eating a bite of this food until you tell me who this woman is. Is she even a human? What kind of person is this? I've been with her this whole time, only speaks the Quran, and of course disciplined Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah multiple times. It's like, who is she? So one child says, since I was born, I only heard my mom recite the Quran. Another child says, you know, I've heard from my father and my family for the last 40 years, she's only been reciting the Quran. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the honor that Allah grants to people. Then Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah enjoyed the food and then he left. Mufti Taqi Uthmani has this story also written in his book Tarasha, and also I found in that book later on that Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah once traveled to Palestine and he wanted to visit this honorable, pious woman to get her prayers and her du'as. I mean, pious people, even sometimes when we see a pious person, to even, you know, be a part of their blessings is such an honor. So he wanted to just go visit her and show her respect when he visited. He was from Iraq originally, Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi. So when he was traveling to Palestine, he wanted to visit her. And when he inquired about her, he was told that she'd passed away. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, that same night, he had a dream where he witnessed her presence and he inquired from her, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with you after you passed away? What was your state in the next world? What were the affairs? And she replied, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صَدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Verily, believers and pious people, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ, they're granted gardens where beneath rivers flow, jannats, وَنَهَرٍ, and rivers, فِي مَقْعَدِ صَدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ, in an honorable location next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the malikim muqtadir, next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the closest places a person can aspire. That was her reward. Imagine the impact of the Quran in this woman's life. All she did in her entire life, speak the Quran, live the Quran.